Well, the night I hit rock bottom, sitting on an old bus, paid my tab, put me in cash. He could see that I was hurting. Oh, I wish I'd got his name, 'cause I didn't feel worth saving. But saved me just the same. One day out on the water, fish wouldn't bite. Put my pole down, I was floating around. It was just so quiet, and I could hear my old man saying, "Son, just be still, 'cause you can't find peace like this."
Me.
changed by your mercy. I'm covered by your peace. Living out to victory doesn't mean I won't feel the heat. Walk me through fire. Hold me from flame. You're in this with me. I won't be afraid.
Feel the kinship of the Holy Spirit among fellow believers. And if you're visiting today, possibly to experience that from a point of being a stranger, but also feeling welcomed and feeling an atmosphere that you're maybe home. And so this is a moment when the Spirit of God creates a fellowship and produces worship in our hearts for Himself to glorify the name of Jesus. Let's continue in our worship with Spirit Song. It's 347 in the hymnal. Let's stand as we sing.
Let Him fill your heart inside.
hymn of praise, For the Beauty of the Earth, 92. Church. We are a church of prayer. We are a church of love, and we want to welcome everyone here in the love and name of Jesus Christ this morning. Let's take some time now to report on God's faithfulness in our lives. If you have a testimony or a word of praise, this is the time to share it, because somebody needs to hear it. Anna?
I was thankful that a couple of people invited me to their house for Thanksgiving.
All right. Got a Thanksgiving invite. Amen. Jason?
My poor wife has endured me for 30 years.
So. Since when? Today?
Since
oh, okay. Cool. 30 years. Praise the Lord.
Say a prayer for
you. Yeah. We do. Others? Julie?
I had the blessing to spend my holiday and several days with my aunt and her daughter, who is with us right now, but it's been wonderful.
Very grateful. Amen. Others? All right, well, let's take some time to report on our prayer concerns and things we know are continuing to be before us in prayer this week. Anna?
For Flo, for Anil, for Patricia, and for Linda.
And for me, I'm sick.
Okay, Arlene, we pray for you, hon. Flo had a brief trip to the hospital. The boy says she's doing better. She's okay. And we know that Inel, Linda, Tricia, the, the whole clan over there around Trisha, Linda, needed our prayers this week. Linda had a fall and, of course, is recovering still. Not quite to, I think she's about to move to rehab, but Inel is doing well in recovery at home, and I think Trisha's doing better as well. Others? Yes, ma'am.
My friend Ashley is going into the hospital tonight to be induced for medical reasons to have her baby early.
All right.
So we could pray.
Praying for Ashley that she'll be induced and everything will go as planned. Okay, great. John?
A friend of mine, Tim Holden's had a double bypass surgery on Wednesday.
Tim Holden, bypass surgery. Okay, thank you. Somebody over there. Diane?
My cousin, Brenda Proper, she's old as I am, and she's in the hospital.
Okay, did you get that? Can you say the name one more time?
Brenda Proper.
Okay, thank you. Jenny? Teresa has COVID? Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am, Kathy.
A neighbor of ours is going to be having surgery on her back.
Okay.
Next month, on the 6th.
You want to give us the first name?
Joyce.
Joyce, back surgery. Okay. And?
Sean's family.
We want to remember Sean and his family and the loss of his father. You went on a long walk with him in his journey. And went as far as he could go, and I know that he was helped and aided by the Holy Spirit in the Lord's presence this past week. Our prayers are with you. You go through all that. Yes, sir.
I want to thank everybody here at church for the prayers and the concerns, and it really is heartfelt, 100%.
Will y'all be traveling?
Leaving Friday, services are Saturday, and I'll be coming home Sunday.
All right. Well, we will keep you in our prayers for that as well. Okay. Others? Julie?
I would like continued prayers while I go through a diagnosis stage.
Okay. Right. You're still looking for that answer? All right. We take prayer very seriously. We're methodical and direct about it, intentional. We know we can sometimes seem to be killing time, but this is important time. Yes, ma'am.
Can you just remember Mama? She had a fall at the beach Friday, and she's a little bruised up.
Thank God.
So just pray for speedy recovery.
Okay, I'm thankful for bruises because they remind you how bad it could have been.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay.
Butch
Lancaster, we will continue to remember Butch. He's continuing to struggle and be able to regain strength in his legs and lower body. Pray for him. Others? All right. Well, let's get down to the work of our prayer, shall we? Father, at least once a year at Thanksgiving, the world seems to join us in thankfulness, which implies gratitude towards someone else. We, Lord, are trying to cultivate in our hearts a daily and lifelong expression of thanksgiving and gratitude, to be recipients of this life, to be recipients of all that you have for us, that you prepared us for, and to know that you've prepared a place for us in eternity. We praise you, God, just for your nature, not of anything you do, but because out of whatever depths of foundation there is to God, what we learn of you is goodness, of goodwill. Even in your omniscience, Lord, and in your perpetual being, when I guess a divine fiat or choice would be to be how you want to be. And yet, it's a fundamental quality to creation to know that you are good. And everything that emanates from you is goodness and holiness and right. God, in the face of so much wrong in the world, in the face of so much brokenness and sin. We come to you today and look squarely into the view, the lens of beauty and holiness. And we acknowledge within ourselves that there's darkness. God, we thank you that the lens we see is Jesus Christ. Focusing your love. Putting human skin on our condition and then redeeming us through his sacrifice. Gratitude is the least thing we feel in a moment. And our hearts swell with love for you. God, now as our worship continues, we sorely need the anointing presence of your Holy Spirit to enable us to worship rightly, to repair the damage done in our hearts, and to give us another moment towards our total and complete healing. And hear us as we pray, Lord, for those we've named. We thank you for the multitude of answered prayers, knowing that those we trust to you now, and even the concerns of our heart, known only to you, that you are healing, that you're hearing and helping. And we praise you for this, Lord. Now, God, as we go through this service, fit us for the work you've designed for us in this coming week. Give us eyes and ears to hear and see, and a willingness in our feet and hands to be the hands and feet of Christ. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us a prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I want to take some time to cover some announcements. Today is the last Sunday before we head into Advent, and the missions team has been working hard to come up with an emphasis during the month of December. And I know Judy is prepared to bring us our first focus for Advent, which begins next week.
You all notice that in your bulletin, we gave you this booklet, and this is for you to use. You want to do this individually. If you don't want to do it individually, then next Sunday, the plate, you can put your offering. This little paper tells you a little bit about PEPFAR. PEPFAR is an organization that's international. It helps people in other countries. Instead of just giving them money, they give them animals and or plants, trees or something that they can garden. They're taught how to use these things. It helps them to get more money for their families, more food for their families. But part of it is also that they give. Once they get established, then they also give to somebody else. So it's sort of passing it down the line. As I say, next Sunday you can put the money in an envelope and mark it for PEPFAR. Or please use this. I have been doing this for several years. You got the people in your family that have everything they need. What in the world do you buy them for Christmas? So what I have done is I bought a chicken, a group of chickens or some chickens or farm a cow, whatever, and do it in their name. And then that way you have a card. They will let you give cards that you can give to those people to let them know what you have done in their honor. So please think about PEPFAR next time.
It's been my pleasure every year for a number of years now to receive a gift from Judy to PEPFAR. In mine and Joy's honor, and I can't tell you it's a great privilege and feeling to know that someone has received a gift in your name through someone, and that's a wonderful way to honor folks at this time of year. So, all right, we also have available for you. I only grabbed one of the adult. Every year, it's our custom to provide you with an Advent devotional, and these contain very powerful daily readings to supplement your Bible study. There's an adult version, and then there's a child one on this piano as well. And we encourage you to pick those up. If you got one today, you'd have it and be ready for next Sunday as we begin Advent. On the calendar, let me find that real quick. So we have our regular, we resume our normal scheduling through the week. Tuesday Bible study at 12:30. 7 o'clock on Thursday, we pray in the sanctuary. But is that next Sunday, December 3rd?
Yes.
It is. Wow. So the Sunday school classes are combining to do the work for the Christmas decorations at Rosewood. And then 12:30, we have our holiday lunch, which is our combination of a Thanksgiving and a Christmas meal. So be aware of that. Come ready to eat. And how are people being fed? Are we signing up or what?
Church is providing the food.
Church is providing the food. Awesome. That's even better. Then on the 9th, a week after that, at noon, the women are going to converge on Bailey Finch's house. And they're looking for gifts for local missions. Need to say anything?
I'll be there.
All right. She'll be there, so you show up. All right. Okay. Now, we've also implemented and had a pretty good start this week to the church app. One way we're going to consider communicating with you is through an app or on your laptop or desktop computer. Of course, your laptop or desktop is what you do at home. But if you have a cell phone, a smartphone, you can download the Walnut Grove Realm app. And it is a way for us to communicate. We can't do a whole lot until, number one, we learn some more about it. Number two, you need to sign up. We've got about 40-something people we don't have an email address for. The only way we can send you the invitation to sign up is if we have an email address. So please text me or give me a call, give me an email address. So we want to see everybody be a part of this because there's a directory. And it's only viewable to us. You can be in the directory, but you can also find others in the directory. Phone number, address, Christmas card address. And we really want to do this in order to be able to communicate more fully with everyone. So please consider getting on your... You can log in on your home computer, your laptop, or you can download that app and do it there, but you can have it both ways too. Okay? Anybody got any questions? All right. And are there any other announcements that need to be made?
I would like to say that next Sunday for the combined Sunday school, if you don't attend Sunday school, I would encourage you to come, especially bring your children. We'll have a lot of fun making the Christmas decorations for the nursing home, and the children are an intricate part of that. So I encourage you to come. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, thank you. All right. If there aren't any other announcements, we'll proceed with the morning offer. Let's have the ushers come forward.
Especially this time of year as we enter into this time of expectations, knowing what is coming, as we anticipate your arrival, as our hearts are stirred, as we become the giving people, as we bring our gifts to you. Accept our offering today, Lord. May it be pleasing to you. May it bless you. May it bless this congregation for the advancement of your kingdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
stand for the reading of the gospel.
This is Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us present our offering to the Lord.
Praise God from
opportunity for the kids to go and receive a lesson. The children's church won't be long and they'll be back. That's great. Go ahead, it's okay. Yeah. Today's text from Matthew 25 is I want to focus especially on one central portion of 44 and 45. Then they, the goats, they will also answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he, Jesus, will answer, the Lord will answer them, saying, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." So our title for today's message is, "I Didn't See You." Let's pray. Father, in a moment of desperation, we cry out to you for a word, a solid word, a a word that we can hear in our own spirit and know that it's from you. And so as far as possible, but knowing that you will use the human element, but communicate, Lord, through your spirit, through the divine instrument of this word, directly with your people, that you will receive the glory and we will receive the instruction that we so need in this time. We ask in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is talking, and these past few weeks we've been immersed in parables and stories that Jesus tells to give us a lesson. And in doing so, we've had some pretty stark pictures painted for us. Some pretty good insights, necessarily, but also, in kind of a backdoor fashion, we hear the Lord saying something about himself. And so here we have in this passage today, Jesus starts a story. And it's a pretty harsh story. It's about separating sheep and goats, and some living forever in blessing and others into blessed eternal punishment. But just look at the gem at the beginning of the story as Jesus references himself. And we have the hindsight and the blessing of the scripture, but please, before we get to the rest of this, let's just hear Jesus talk about himself. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. Sometimes when we wonder how Jesus, in his full humanness, was able to face and address the cross and embrace the cross and then go and allow himself to be attached firmly to it and then to die, we see a man, God, who has insight into the future kingdom, who knows that if a supreme price is paid, if something, a cost is paid, and that the punishment for the weight of sin of the world is placed on him, if he endures that, we see he plainly and firmly understands the outcome. But the message he bore that day is a striking one. It's a stark one. And I thought I knew what I was going to preach about today. And when Joy left the parsonage at 10 till 10, I was wrestling fiercely because I just had my whole sermon undone by an insight. I'm prying into this and looking at it and thinking I knew this. I didn't see you. When did I see you, Lord? I didn't see you. I didn't know. I didn't. And I thought, I'm really going to give them hell. You know, the punishment of the damned, the eternal, everlasting knowledge that they had not done what the Lord wanted them to do. But then I reread the text. I didn't see you. I realized the sheep were the first ones to say it. Lord, when? When did I see you? Hungry or poor or naked? And then after all of that, we hear the ones who were the goats go, Lord, we didn't see you. I went, oh, well, there goes the whole sermon. Got to help me now, Jesus. What's going on? What's at stake? An inheritance. He separates the sheep from the goats like shepherds separate their sheep from goat herds. Two immensely different, dissimilar creatures, except that they can offer milk. But you have the character of these animals, very different, necessitating attention from the shepherd, but knowing that on one side is an inheritance. And the Lord invites in this parable he gives, well, actually, I don't know if it's a parable. He says, then the king will say, I think it's what he plans to say at the separating. And who Who in the entirety of creation has the right to claim to make a distinction between one and another? Who is there who can say to one, you're a sheep, and the other, you're a goat, in the same family? Except Jesus Christ, the Lord, the ruler. And he says, come and you will inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you. Folks, there's a place prepared for everyone. God made plenty of room. He made a room for everybody. And he made room at the cross for every soul. And if that soul would only accept, just accept the free offer of grace, the forgiveness of sins, that person has a place prepared. Prepared. Your choice today to accept Christ will not surprise God. He won't say, oh, let's get St. Peter over and get a spot. Oh, we got to make room. And at the marriage feast of the Lamb, we need to set another place. No. Rather, it'd be like this church sanctuary today, where there's been seats provided for another 80 people. At the marriage feast of the Lamb, the capability will have been to receive all. The whole world. You see, the heart of the King is for all. He wants all to experience the benefit of what He has accomplished on the cross. Sin, death, brokenness has been defeated. And we are the inheritors of this kingdom. But there's a problem. This story has teeth in it. He says, come and receive your inheritance. Those who gave me food when I was hungry. Those that gave me water when I was thirsty. Those who welcomed me when I was a stranger. When I was naked and you covered me. When I was sick and you nursed me. Or when I was in prison and you came over to the prison and visited me. And then verse 9. The sheep say, and when did we see you sick or in prison? When did we see these things? You see, it turns out that for the sheep, there was something in their nature that reflected Christ. They didn't see with their physical eyes, but they saw in the spirit the hungry, the needy, the poor, the naked, the victim, the stranger, the criminal. Something in them that reflected Jesus loved, and embraced. I confess to you that when I see a lady holding a bucket of flowers and holding a piece of cardboard around her neck that says, single mom, I pray for that light to change fast. I don't want my car to have to come to rest anywhere near that person. And then I just tell myself, you know, she probably has a better car than I have. In those moments, I'm not seeing. Con artist, yes. Someone who is maybe got mixed motives, most definitely. Someone who's probably seen more of life than the bottom of my shoes, most likely. Someone Jesus loves. You see, for Jesus to accept his responsibility and inherit his kingdom, he had to shoulder a load that included an awful lot of people we consider as human flotsam, discarded. Jesus went ahead and purchased everybody. He went ahead and purchased the murderers and the hungry. And while we joke about, you know, shaking the arm of a guy from Somalia and it falling off, talk about pulling the wing off a turkey, some of the craziness I read on Facebook this week. Jesus paid for them with his life. And I just sometimes can't see. But that's with the eyes of the flesh. For true sheep, there's a quality, a purity and a simplicity in them. And they, you know, we fuss at them and we say, you're just giving money away. Oh, you're just wasting your time with Heifer International. Those people, they need to be taught how to fish, not how to eat fish. You know, and on and on. But in that heart, there's a quality that was resident in the beginning of time, but became horribly marred through sin. But with time and salvation, as they receive this gift of the cross, something funny happens, and that polishing effort of Jesus just begins to renew and restore that image of Christ. That lens of Jesus begins to be clearer. And then it's just a matter of life. As they see people loving, they give. As people are hurting, they care. When they are naked, they are clothing people, not to earn salvation, but out of an intrinsic goodness that's being restored. I'm glad I lost this sermon this morning. I might not have been able to preach. Come and receive the good that has been prepared for you. Then he looks at others and he says, depart from me. Because I was in all of these conditions I've mentioned, and you never fed me, clothed me. And you know, I have to think of Jesus going about in the world 2,000 years ago like these victims. I know that Jesus was in fact hungry. I know in fact that he slept in places where he had no bed or any place to rest his head. I know for a fact that Jesus numbered himself among the poorest people who ever lived. I know that he was considered criminal by people in authority. I know that he was wounded for our transgressions with ghastly, horrific wounding, and we were not offering him comfort. And I know that in the end, he died a pauper's criminal death. Is there one who has a right then to speak to the guilt or innocence of the created beings except Christ? He says, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. And in fact, did it to me. What happened when I got up out of my chair and I told Joy, I said, I just lost my sermon. I have no idea. And I said, I don't know what. She said, you looking for your glasses? I said, I don't know where they're at. I can't see without them. And she said, well, you can't see with them because they're on your head. Duh. Sermon moment. Turns out that neither a sheep nor a goat can make the right choice intrinsically in and of who they are. Just because we want to be good or earn something, or we just mad at the world, or we can see ourselves as victims and not choose to. We can't trust our eyes, whether we're good or we're bad. The sheep aren't celebrating today because they can see. The goats aren't languishing in fear and horror because they're not going to see. It's a quality, a regenerative quality, this sight. And Jesus will say to those goats, depart. For I was hungry and you despised me. Well, you didn't see. There's an unregenerate quality in you. There will be an unregenerated quality in those who maybe acknowledge the person of Jesus Christ. have acknowledged in their head that he was a person historically, and that probably a lot of the Bible is true, and that he may even be a son or the Son of God, but they have not surrendered to him. To acknowledge a goat, to say a goat can get in, is to say that all that sin and all that brokenness, God's just going to look away from it. To the person who is repeatedly raped in her lifetime, to the people who were robbed and beaten mercilessly, to those who have been inflicted with the crimes of humanity, there will be no answer in heaven for them if God has not judged utterly and completely every bad deed. And every wrong thing, there will be no answer for those who have suffered in Jesus' name. You better believe there will be a moment of reckoning. And hell is the result. The place reserved for the devil and his angels is now opened for those who must face that judgment. Those who remain in their sin will be just as guilty as the day they were born into sin. And the one who has the right to distinguish doesn't care about the goat's protest. Because what is wrong is being made right. Those who are the sheep are actually standing there observing. Jesus didn't judge the goats first and then send them away. No, he told the sheep, gather around me, receive. And then he turns to address the goats. In full view, they have every wrong answered, every injustice checked off, every victimization made right in that moment. The sheep will stand vindicated as the goats go into perdition. And so, sheep, if you're here today among the goats, know that the goodness in your heart is not your own. It is not your eyesight that saves you. It is the feeling that comes through the goodness God is generating in your heart. You keep on giving. You keep on being taken in, suckers. You keep on giving and giving because the one who gets to judge sees. Jesus is restoring his own image in us. And often the goodness he comes looking for, we didn't know we had. I didn't see. I just had common human compassion. No, you had a heaven-given compassion because I'm working a miracle in you. And so we come back to this string of parables we're listening to, and we know that the virgins should have had all. They really thought they had enough. We know that the guy entrusted with one talent just knew he'd better get through with the skin of his teeth because the master would punish him. And so he failed to produce. And then we have this story of the goats and the sheep, and we realize there is nothing intrinsically in us that can cause good. Oh, a sinner might feed another sinner a meal. And there are far greater things that people do who are in the world than many Christians do for the world. But because none of that will save you in the end, this goodness comes through what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And so, everything that is done, whether it is good or evil, Jesus considers it done to himself. When we see the poor, when we see the victim, We see the poor drunk or addict to drugs. When we see people Jesus loved so much, he decided to become them. Everything we do from that moment we either do or we don't do to Christ. Let him who has ears hear. Let she who has sight see. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to make some time at this altar. It's time for people to come and publicly place themselves in a position of humility and submission so that they can have an opportunity with God, and that's what the altar is for. You may have business with God that you want to do that here. Also, if you know today that the Spirit of God has been speaking in your heart, and today is a day for you to ask Christ to enter in, that's what this altar is for. If you raise your hand, I'll come and pray with you. Today you can have Christ enter your heart. You can establish an eternal home base from which to have His goodness work its way in you. Either way, we're going to have time, brief time for ministry here at the altar. Won't you come if you have it? Thank you. for our hymn of commitment today, and I trust you will make a commitment. Let's turn to this song, "This Is My Father's World," and a tribute to him, what belongs to him alone. 144, let's stand as we sing. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.